Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on being careful for nothing. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. This is in Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Verse 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." The word careful in Strong's is number 3309. It comes from another word which means to be anxious about, or to be careful about, or take thought. The word think in Strong's is number 3049. It's the middle voice from another word which means to take an inventory, that is, to estimate, literally or figuratively, to conclude, take account of, despise, esteem, impute, lay, number, reason, reckon, suppose, or think on. You need the peace of God that passes all understanding to complete your mission on earth, like Paul. Those not giving thanks for everything to God in prayer will become anxious again. There are good habits and bad habits. Giving thanks at mealtimes is a good habit, developed in those who have God's peace following Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Verse 12. "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. With the peace of God that passes all understanding, you are supposed to chase after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. The peace of God will never leave you in complicated situations when you're on the right path. God's peace leaves you only when you depart from the truth for the sake of your flesh. Anxiety is a sign that you are losing the fight of faith. Holding on to something else in this world will cause you to lose your grip on eternal life." Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30, this is in John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Verse 29. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Verse 30. "And I and my Father are one." Your rightful owner is God through creation. Adam and Eve were snatched out of the Father's hand in the Garden of Eden. And now Jesus has bought you back from the slave market of sin through redemption, if you're born again. Follow Christ consistently and do not let the devil snatch you out of the Father's hand by laying hold on eternal life, hearing his voice, getting to know, and following him. You will never perish. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord, fully employ his new operating system by grace so that Christ can make all the decisions by the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life starts now, in those living in his presence, hearing and obeying his voice consistently. The only way to get to know him personally is by letting him make all those everyday decisions. When you are careful for nothing, he can take care of those things you would normally do yourself. If you keep your mind still, then you experience his answers for each situation, and you just have to obey. He is qualified to make all the right decisions, so follow the leading of the Spirit in complicated situations. You will see how he does things through you and get to know him personally by denying yourself. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 18 to 21. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 20, I'm reading verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. At salvation, you received the peace of God as soon as you accepted him as Lord and decided to surrender all. The peace of God was the first thing you received, so you know what it feels like in comparison to the anxiety of serving sin before salvation. It's like night and day. Before sending out his disciples, Jesus prayed for them to have God's peace. They were in the upper room, living behind a locked door for fear of the Jews. Jesus paid the price so that you can now hear his voice and by grace and power do the works he has ordained for you to do. Take time to repent of believing lies for the sake of your flesh, and you will not suffer anxiety anymore, seeking righteousness instead. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, Philippians 4:8 says, For the rest, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely and lovable, whatsoever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Paul told the church to make a list of those things God does every day by his grace and think on them. While you are thinking about those things, you'll begin to smile, realizing how he protected and provided for you. While you're thinking about these things, he can remind you where you went back to your old ways and departed from the truth, losing that provision. We read in the Psalms, chapter 46, verses 8 to 11. This is in the Psalms, chapter 46, I'm starting in verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he's made in the earth. Verse 9. He makes wars to cease, unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Some need still waters physically beside them to hear the Lord clearly. If this is what you need, then God can provide these situations for a while. But you still will need to obey what you hear and work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14. I'm reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Paul, as a frontline soldier of Jesus Christ, did not have the option to find a peaceful situation in this world. Asking the enemy to stop shooting while you get his orders will just make the devil fight even harder. In these times, Paul discovered the kingdom of God and experienced the peace of God that came from serving Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. The word temptation in Strong's is number 3986. It comes from another word which means a putting to proof by experiment of good, experience of evil, solicitation, discipline or provocation, by implication adversity, temptation, and even more trying. In the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13 says, so be careful if you're thinking, oh, I would never behave like that. Let this be a warning to you, for you too may fall into sin. But remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you, and no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it, for he has promised this and will do what he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. God promises you will never experience a level of temptation greater than you can handle in Christ. The kingdom of God has been here now by the Spirit since the day of Pentecost. You have to abide in Christ to benefit. You have all the resources you need, but you must listen, trust, and obey. For you to make the decisions, you have to stop trusting God, reject the Lordship of Jesus Christ, come out of Christ, and lean to your own understanding. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, Romans 8, 1-2 says, therefore there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. You will never be wrong trusting God with all your heart. you can now set yourself free from fear and the miseries of sin and death that come from living in the flesh and obeying the dictates of the flesh. You just have to obey the Spirit consistently instead. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 12 on Practical Applications, on page 182, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the belief that you are automatically in Christ simply because you are born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature, the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. If you're born again, then you have to choose to whom you yield your members. Those with the confidence in the flesh serve the dictates of the flesh. They are born again, but not in Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Like a little child, be careful for nothing. The narrow way makes no sense in the natural mind. You need God's peace to guide you. With grace and peace, find the entrance to the narrow way and get on it. On the narrow way, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. Any other comfort comes from idols you created for the sake of your flesh that you need to flee from. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. When grace runs out, humble yourself and use the fresh grace and the word of truth you receive to repent and get back on the narrow way. On the narrow way, you'll be completely satisfied. God is in complete control. He can bring thoughts back to your mind and direct you. The Father fed his own people, a whole nation in the wilderness through Moses. We read in the Psalms, chapter 78, I'm reading verses 12 to verse 35. This is in the Psalms, chapter 78, starting in verse 12. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Verse 13. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. Verse 14. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Verse 15. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. Verse 16. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Verse 17. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Verse 18. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Verse 19. Yea, they spoke against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Verse 20. Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Verse 21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Verse 22. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Verse 23. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven. Verse 24. and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Verse 25. Man did eat angels' food, and he sent them meat to the full. Verse 26. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. Verse 27. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. Verse 28. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. Verse 29. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. Verse 30. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Verse 32, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Verse 33, therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. Verse 34, when he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. Verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 4 and verse 7 says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot, of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The evangelist Charles Finney often saw an absence of anxiety and the peace of God manifesting in someone as the evidence of true salvation. You cannot be saved by repeating the sinner's prayer, as that would be salvation by works. Our bad works are there to convince us we need salvation, but everyone needs to repent of dead works to be saved. Christianity is not just another religion. To allow someone saying sorry to still do what they want when they want afterwards. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and reading verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In the Living Bible, Hebrews 9 and 14 says, just think how much more surely the blood of Christ will transform our lives and hearts. His sacrifice frees us from the worry of having to obey the old rules and makes us want to serve the living God. For by the help of the eternal Holy Spirit, Christ willingly gave himself to God to die for our sins, he being perfect without a single sin or fault. There is now no excuse. Through the blood of Jesus, anyone can establish peace with God. There are no commandments to live by on the narrow way. There are only two rules. Number one, whatsoever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. Number two, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, do not do it. To enter the kingdom now, you must become like a little child, obeying the Holy Spirit like Christ did. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9, for they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Being careful for nothing is the key to obtaining godliness and contentment. Contentment does not come from improving your standard of living. Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, would often say, you cannot take anything with you, but you can send it on ahead. Those on the narrow way send on ahead those things they cannot keep. They are in love with God and do not notice the things they lose for following Christ, because they are not holding on to anything in this world. Carnal Christians are often seeking earthly blessings. Whatever you are holding on to in this world will stop you from obeying him perfectly. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. This is in the book of Romans chapter 1. I'm reading verse 15. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul was ready to preach in Rome, a city serving money, seeking earthly gain, with an abundance, because he had peace and joy that they needed. Those serving two masters think being careful for nothing is utter foolishness until their earthly lives are in a mess. Paul wrote one of the longest letters in the New Testament because the church in Rome was falling asleep spiritually. The purpose of his letter is found here. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12, I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're either becoming like the world, or the world is becoming like you, following Christ. As a living sacrifice, use the peace of God to guide you when circumstances change. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to verse 22. I'm reading Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know thy works, and that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 9, On the Importance of Lordship, on page 149 to 150, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The more you repent, the more consistently you walk in the Spirit. What if you have tried to do this, but you cannot seem to make it work? Ask the Lord to show you other related reasons that may be hindering you. Identify as many reasons as you can and repent to the root level of each one. If it does not seem to work, ask the Holy Spirit to show you why it's not working. Do not quit simply because the process feels difficult to you. Here is a little hint. You will find out exactly what your hindrances are when you try to obey God. You will either be successful or Satan will stop you from obeying. He, along with your flesh, will supply excuses, doubt, fear, and any number of other hindrances. When you try to obey and your flesh reacts negatively, you have found another hindrance." For information on what is hindering your faith, please refer to the chapter on hindrances to faith in the book Light, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecott. Anxiety, fear, and doubt come from consulting your mind. You should be listening to the dictates of the Spirit, trusting God with all your heart. Do not let the devil give you a counterfeit peace, keeping your flesh comfortable with the wisdom of this world based on the knowledge of good and evil. There is grace where you are now, but there is not grace to stay where you are for the sake of some earthly gain. In the Living Bible, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus." At salvation, the consequences of sin woke you up to the fact that you had a confidence in the flesh. You were using your mind and earthly wisdom to make decisions. When you humbled yourself and accepted the Lordship of Jesus Christ, grace appeared and you began to live in the light by confessing your sin. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Verse 20. "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Verse 21. "If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." The word noble in Strong's is number 5092. It comes from another word which means value, that is, money paid or concretely or collectively valuables, by analogy, esteemed, especially of the highest degree, or the dignity itself, honor, precious, price or pricem. The word ignoble in Strong's is number 819. It comes from another word which means infamy. That is subjectively comparative indignity, objectively disgrace, dishonor, reproach, shame, or vile. The word purge in Strong's is number 1571. It comes from some other words which means cleanse thoroughly or purge out. He cannot use you for noble purposes if you keep making excuses for the sake of your flesh. The flesh cannot please God. God can only use those who are self-seeking for ignoble tasks. Some are a thorn in the flesh for others. Some have the ministry of sandpaper for the rest of the body of Christ. and God uses them to remove sharp edges on those getting ready for his appearing. Someone born again, asleep spiritually, can wake up because they cannot endure the extra trials and tribulations from someone else in the flesh. I do not believe there are rewards for ignoble tasks. You determine what God uses you for by purging yourself of making excuses for the flesh. James wrote in James chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In the Message Bible, James 1, 2 to 4 says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith, life, is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you can obey God instantly in complicated situations, then you're becoming spiritual and uncontaminated, ready for God to do his perfect will through you. The pressure of the narrow way is necessary, so rejoice and welcome it as a friend. The pressure will increase from time to time, but it's there to help you purify your faith through repentance and deepen your foundations. You may know the promises of God in your head, but what you believe has to go from your head to your heart. Paul wrote in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. This is Matthew chapter 6, and read verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Carnal Christians do not seek righteousness in all their actions. Instead, they walk in darkness using their natural mind. They wake up when they need something, but are still conformed to this world. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Romans chapter 13, and read verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The church in Rome should have had many personal testimonies of using their faith to overcome trials. They were told to put on the armor of light from lessons they learned living in the light. But they had relied on earthly wisdom too much. Those reaping the consequences of sowing to the flesh are blind, even though they have access to the truth. James said in James chapter 1, verses 18 to 22. This is in the book of James chapter 1, and read verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. anyone can call Jesus Lord when there is no pressure. Those who believe with the heart confess him as Lord in the midst of a trial or difficulty. Carnal Christians listen to false prophets saying in Jesus' name loudly to get some earthly blessings. They experience a breakthrough temporarily because there is power in Jesus' name. But the change is not permanent if they are not a doer of the word. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, and reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually in Chapter 7, The Joy of My Salvation, on page 116, Joseph Edgecott writes, one Sunday I was ministering in our church and I had a big pulpit and a big Bible. I was preaching a message and was really excited. When I quoted a specific scripture, I knew everyone in the congregation would be convicted. When I quoted it, I slammed my Bible down on the pulpit and slapped it 3 times. I said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I paused so it could have an effect on the congregation. As I was pausing, the Father had something to say to me. He said, Son, I said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. My word does not need your belief to settle it. It is forever settled in the heavens. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word, not one punctuation mark will pass away until it is all fulfilled. Matthew 5:18. I said it, and that settles it. If you can believe it, you can receive it. If you cannot believe it, you will not receive it. Either way, I said it, and that settles it. I said, yes, Lord, and repented of being so arrogant. Then I explained to the congregation why I stood there looking foolish for so long a time. I changed my formula that day. Now when the Holy Spirit reveals truth to me, I say, God, you said it, and that settles it. I think I'll just be smart and believe it. If I can believe it, I can receive it. If I can't believe it, I will not receive it. He said it, and that settles it. Faith in the heart is effortless. It trusts in what it believes is right when it is convinced. Faith in the heart does not have to grunt, groan, or strain. It's just a gentle leaning, trying to release your faith when you're still leaning to your own understanding is impossible. Faith is for all situations, including trials that earthly wisdom cannot solve. Earthly wisdom will never provide a permanent solution. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. This is in the book of James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In the Message Bible, James 1:5-8 says, if you do not know what you are doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you are going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. When you obey God in any situation, your faith is alive. This is why you were given faith, to believe and obey God instantly. You will contaminate the truth if you process it with your carnal mind. and the word sent to save you will not set you free. Your mind will resist God's wisdom and stop you from being used by the Lord for His purpose. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 6 to verse 13. This is Isaiah 55, starting in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherewith I sent it. Verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy, and ye shall be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Thinking is dangerous, because no one sees the end from the beginning except God. Those who forsake their own ways and simply trust and obey are blessed. Conviction will help you identify thoughts that cause you to act in an unrighteous way and repent. It is possible to live your life controlled by God's thoughts and not your own. God will do the work through you, and you will be transformed by obedience to the Spirit. In the Living Bible, Isaiah 55 verses 6 and 7 says, Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call upon him now while he is near. Let men cast off their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy upon them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God listens to your thoughts, not just what you say, so banish your thoughts of doing wrong. You are a spiritual being created in the image of God to do the works God planned and bring glory to him. Your mind was designed with the capacity to hold his thoughts about what you need to do every day. It is a blessing and a privilege to be his representatives, now and for all eternity. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. I'm reading the book of Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The word subtle in Strong's is number 6175. It's a passive participle of another word meaning cunning, usually in a bad sense, crafty, prudent, or subtle. Get to know God with the gift of eternal life, you will be tempted to seek the knowledge of good and evil that you do not need. God gave the devil clever abilities to be convincing, and he used them to build his own kingdom. Limited knowledge also brings fear and doubt. Adam and Eve started hiding from truth and conviction, serving the flesh, because they were no longer ignorant of God's holiness too. Before sinning, Eve was childlike, but was drawn to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam was told not to take from. She was listening to the devil and looked. The devil cannot do anything to you now in Christ unless you are first drawn away by the lust of your flesh. Resist conviction. Resist the Holy Spirit. For you to make decision with your mind, you have to harden your heart and get out of Christ if you're born again. We read in Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. This is Matthew 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27, and all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is the only one qualified to use the knowledge and wisdom in this world because he overcame the cross and never sinned. Even if you gain one bit of knowledge using your mind in this world, you will need to know more and more. You will only be a slave to knowledge and never have all the pieces of the puzzle. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. This is in Philippians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3, and entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labour with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. The word yoke fellow in Strong's is number 805. It comes from another word which means to be co-yoked. That is figuratively as a noun, a colleague, probably rather as a proper name, a Christian or yoke fellow. Someone yoked to Christ is a Christian. They are betrothed to Christ, Christ-like, following Christ and have the fruits of Christ. They're not a rug for everyone else to walk on, but called to serve. Jesus is our example. The Lamb's Book of Life is the best book to be in. It records names of great people all around the world. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 40. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jehoshaphat, of David, also and Samuel, and of the prophets. Verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Verse 34. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. Verse 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Verse 39. And these all have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Your name may be in the Lamb's Book of Life now, but it can be blotted out. It records all those who have lost something in this world following Christ or serving the gospel. Having your name in this book is evidence of salvation, proof that you are living sacrifice and your life belongs to Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. This is Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. What is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Verse 26. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Those living in darkness think it is unnecessary to lose your life to gain it. They're ashamed of Jesus' teachings and create their own doctrines to convince others and foster the lies they want to believe for the sake of their flesh. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 24. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5, and read verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have always told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The flesh can be crucified. If you do not believe, it can be killed. Then why not? God said it, but you don't believe only because you are still fond of the flesh. You do not need the flesh anymore. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You're only making excuses for the flesh and feeding it because you want something yourself that you believe God will not give you. The devil can make your flesh comfortable too, and you will perish if you do not repent. The flesh is your enemy, so kill it. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. This is Galatians chapter 5, and verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Save yourselves by walking in the Spirit consistently, and you will not die. Look at your fruit. Get in the Spirit by humbling yourself and confessing your sin. For you to walk in the Spirit, Jesus must be the absolute Lord of your life. Since you have stopped looking after your own interests, will you listen to the spirit of this world again? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The devil tells the world what they want to hear. People believe God helps those who help themselves. It's only when people start reaping the consequences of sin they wake up. Those living in darkness also think becoming like a little child is foolish. Carnal church leaders believe and teach that God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. To make decisions with your mind makes you Lord of your own life. However, Jesus is Lord. Paul was not giving God advice, but he knew what to do in a complicated situation, because he had the mind of Christ. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and read verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The wisdom of this world is destroying lives in this planet too. It's only your natural mind stopping you from being yoked to Jesus and learning spiritually. The carnal mind cannot receive and believe spiritual things because they are spiritually discerned. Yoked to Jesus, everything is yours. Jesus gave his testimony about his relationship with his Father. Jesus said in John 5, 26 to 30. This is John chapter 5, I'm reading verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27. And have given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29. And shall come forth, and they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. The word quickeneth in Strong's is number 2227. From the same as some other words which means to vitalize, literally or figuratively, to make alive, give life or quicken. Jesus never did anything independently of the Father. He never made judgments about any situation. He explained the judgment is at the end, when everyone's going to hear his voice. Those acknowledging God in all their ways, submitted to Jesus, experience his resurrection life now. Jesus was given authority to execute judgment because he was submitted to the Father minute by minute. Everyone who's born again will hear his voice, but there will be two resurrections. Make sure you're in the right one by learning to hear, trust and obey Jesus now. If you're not obeying him now by the Spirit, then you will not obey him when he comes in his glory with all his holy angels. He will not make the exception at that time when he is setting up his kingdom. It's a bit late to claim that Jesus is Lord then. Do not deceive yourself. There is no heaven without the kingdom of heaven, and no kingdom of heaven without a king. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 5:30 says, I'm able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I'm taught by God, and as I get his orders, even as I hear, I judge, I decide as I'm bidden to decide, as the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just or righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. The Son will be honored for the fact that he came in the flesh and never did anything independently of the Father. Jesus had equality with the Father in his humanity and never consulted his own mind to do his own will or pleasure or used his divine nature. Jesus was a properly operating human being submitted to the Father and had life in himself. Jesus was qualified to judge and had authority to give the same life to those submitted to him. He had that life because he was not doing anything without first getting his orders and hearing from God. You cannot have life listening to your flesh. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. When you're in the Spirit, he is near, especially when you're being convicted and corrected. When your flesh is comfortable, then you know that he's no longer near, and you will not find him by staying in the flesh either. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 22, and reading to verse 29. This is John's Gospel, chapter 20, starting in verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted, and unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Verse 26. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Verse 27, then he said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. God wants you to believe and release your faith in the truth and live by faith, not by sight. Meeting Jesus was a shocking experience, as Thomas was asleep spiritually until he saw Jesus. Christ was still in human form, raised to life by his faith in God, seeking righteousness in every situation. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. This is Philippians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James 1:3 says, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. You have the measure of faith, but this can be directed into many other things. Your faith is incomplete if it does not possess these things. Number one, an ability to endure for the sake of righteousness in all circumstances. Number two, steadfastness in acknowledging God consistently and not just when you're in trouble. Number four, not demanding things instantly like a spoiled child. And number four, trying to understand or appreciate things with your mind. Do not try to understand anything with your mind in order to believe. This is not pure faith. God's ways make no sense to the natural mind. God wants you to believe under any circumstances so you can receive. He can explain everything so you release a small amount of faith, but then you are still carnal, using your mind, not your heart. For more information on the battle of your mind, please read chapter 14 of the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, on the battle for your mind. Truth and conviction will help you understand what needs to be changed next. Jesus is the master builder. Do not help God. The best you can do is rejoice in those situations you find yourself in. If you cannot rejoice, there's a reason why. Trials and difficulties should be welcomed as an aid if you're still holding on to something in this world. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 8 to 10. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Only the narrow way leads to life, but you have to believe. If you do not believe, then God will send somebody to tell you. You are the one who has to change. Instead of you being in control, you fight for Jesus to be in control of your life. There are only two operating systems. You should be fighting to keep him Lord by seeking righteousness so you can hear the voice of Jesus all the time in complicated situations. You need to hear from him just to put your faith in what God is saying, rather than use your mind to make decisions. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. This is in 1 Peter chapter 5, and reading verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word sober in Strong's is number 3525, of an uncertain affinity. It means to abstain from. That is figuratively to be discreet, be sober or watch. The word vigilant in Strong's is number 1127. It comes from another word which means to keep awake. That is to watch, literally or figuratively, to be vigilant, wake up, or be watchful. In the Message Bible, 1 Peter 5, 8 to 11 says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce, would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before the generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Now you are born again. God is not going to remove the devil because of your lack of faith and humility. God has the strategy of warfare and is the commander-in-chief of his armies. Wake up spiritually. The devil can only deceive those who are using their mind trying to come to truth. I have seen the one God used to train me go on high alerts at times when he was tempted due to tiredness or pain. In those situations, when I started, I did not keep my eyes on the Lord and listen to my flesh instead. I had to repent and then set a watch for that same temptation again. I was willing to learn and believe by grace through faith that I did not have to make the same mistake twice. I asked God for a similar situation or trial after I'd repented to be sure that I passed my test and got to the root issues. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil has nothing to offer and will perish in the eternal lake of fire. Those who are perishing will not understand why you do not just do what you want when you want. Carnal Christians believe a lie that you cannot have fun without serving the flesh a little bit. Your daily instructions now come through the Spirit, and your life can rescue others who do not believe the truth. Jesus came through the wall to reach those disciples in the upper room because he was instructed to do so by the Father. God is love and the God of all grace. Jesus was functioning in a way that man was created to function, doing the will of the Father all the time. God will let you use powerful tools and more to deliver truth in love when you're ready. You do not have to kick down doors of opportunity. Your faith has to be tested first in some complicated situations. If you take over the Lordship and use your mind, then there is still some cleansing and purging required. In the Message Bible, Philippians 4, 6-9 says, "Do not fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns before you know it. A sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I say you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me and what you heard and saw and realized. Do that. And God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Being careful for nothing might look foolish to this world, but if you do not obey this command, you will start thinking and worrying. Only God knows what you need to think about. He is Lord. The disciples had plenty to think about in the upper room and had become fearful as a result. Thomas got a shock and realized that the faith of Christ doing the will of God worked without any special prayers of deliverance, and he overcame death by faith in God alone. Now you can ask God anything and everything. Live in his kingdom and do not have to use your mind to make decisions. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. There are no mechanics for hearing his voice without righteousness and humility." Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with a living God. At the moment, you may not be aware that your motive and attitude to God needs to be corrected. You were given the Holy Spirit so that you could have the very thoughts of God in your mind and heart by grace through faith. This is based on the forgiveness of sins and what Jesus did on the cross. You are very privileged. He is speaking all the time. You do need to be in the Spirit and keep your mind still. You also need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. If you do not act swiftly and start thinking, you'll get angry when convicted. If you start thinking, the devil can also talk you out of obeying the truth. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, I'm reading verse 6. "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Verse 7. "Thou made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." Whenever you think you are something, remember you were created to serve. Man was given a direct link to God at creation, and then snatched from the Father's hand through sin. We are nothing without him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Challenging situations for your faith are a reward for being faithful. God's plan is to use you for every good work by grace through faith in every culture he puts you in. As you become a doer of the word under greater levels of pressure, he uses you more in this world. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. In the Message Bible, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about being careful for nothing. What a wonderful life awaits you as you do this. As you give things to God, you let go and you let God. This is exactly what we should be doing, trusting God with all our heart. As you do that, as you embrace this message, allow the scriptures to show you where maybe you've gone wrong. Study those areas. God will show you where you're still holding on to something. And you'll have the blessed experience as you let go of those things and let God. You will set yourself free. Let me pray with you right now. Father in heaven, I know there are many people who need to let go and let you take control. And Father, as they respond to these messages, respond to this message, I pray that there will be a complete transformation. They will see you move on their behalf and they will become drawn to this life of faith where they continually listen to your voice and do what you say and let go of everything in this world in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.